Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome, sports fans. Hosts Tom Marquis and the Balance team are ready to break down the past week in sports. We bring you that perfect balance of news, commentary, scores, stats, and much more. So sit back and get ready. It's time for the Balance.
Job to do. That's win. That means you stay focused for four quarters. Know your assignments and finish on every play. Don't be looking for shortcuts and don't even think about making excuses. Because if you want the W, you're going to have to earn it. Nothing comes for free. Not 1 yard. You pay for it with sweat, with determination, with heart. You do things the right way because that's the only way. You pick up your teammates, you keep your head high, and you remember everything you went through to get here. Because at the end of the day, there's only one person looking back at you in the mirror, and that's one person you don't want to cheat.
My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Yes, 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 Super Bowl is finally here. We are live in Indianapolis, along with me, Mr. Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com. Holla at your boy.
How at your boy? What's going on, man?
What's going on, my man? Also joining us, Super Colts fan all the way from Illinois, Mr. Brian Jensen. How we doing, sir?
Good. What's going on?
Dude, it's Super Bowl weekend, man. Pep it up a few notches, man. You just get out of bed or what? My goodness. You sound like you just lost your best friend. Well, that's right. You did.
Just aggravated. I'm not down there.
Dude, I told you to come down here, man. You had a place to stay. Everything was good. And then you decided that you wanted to stay there and be a responsible adult. I don't get that. There's two times a year in Indianapolis that you do not become responsible. That's race day and Super Bowl Sunday. And especially Super Bowl Sunday when we're live here in Indianapolis. All right, let's jump right into it, guys. It's been an exciting week. First of all, has anybody, we won't ask Brian this question, but has anybody been down to Super Bowl Village? I have been. I know, did you go down there, Jay, while you were out and about?
Look here, man, I literally have probably lived in Super Bowl Village and downtown all week, starting on Tuesday. It's been ridiculous. Tuesday, I'm in about round four right now, Super Bowl.
Round four.
Well, guys, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we got something going on again tonight. So if you're close enough, you have to come to Indianapolis, whether you've got a ticket to the game or not.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. You've got to get down there. Jay, have you did the zip line?
Like I told Gary earlier in the week, the brothers don't ride the zip line. Chris Carter told you that earlier in the week. Everybody was talking about Chris Carter. When he got up on that thing, I said, he's not doing that. There's no way. I said, that's just something. Now, the brothers will hang out at probably the most dangerous places in the world, but they won't hang out on the zip line.
Well, I tell you what, it is an exciting time, and we've got a great show tomorrow. We got some really great sound clips. Our friends from out at Do Indy was out at Media J. You were there as well. And so we'll get into all of that here in just a little bit. But the big farting elephant in the room that just seems to just never go away. So let's get that out of the discussion now. And we're going to have a great show today, guys. I'll tell you what. We've got the cream of the cream the next 2 days live here in Indianapolis. We've got Greg Rakestraw, Hometown Sports Indiana. And if you're familiar at all with Indianapolis broadcasting local media, you have certainly heard the voice of one Greg Rakestraw. And he will be on the air with us here at 9:30. 9:45, Mr. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. And I tell you what, if y'all remember Jason Hammer and Nigel back in the old X103 days, then you'll know Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. And at 10 o'clock, myself, Jimmy the Intern, and Evan Williams break down, you got it, Big Ten basketball, and a big one on the horizon today. IU and Purdue. Big game. So we're going to get into that in the second hour. And tomorrow, guys, right here on Blog Talk Radio and the Balance Radio Network all over the United States, coast to coast, we're going to have our annual Super Bowl special live from Indianapolis right here. Super Bowl week, and it's 2 hours of nothing but football. Myself, Brian Jensen's going to join us. Ed Kratz from down in Philadelphia is going to join us. John Brodigan's going to join us. My son's going to join us. Axel's going to be here. We've just got a great show planned for you tomorrow of nothing but football, the Giants, and the Patriots. All right, guys, we're going to start right around the corner and talk about that farting elephant in the room. Mr. Peyton Manning, number 18, cleared to play. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to come back to Indianapolis. Now, those of you that follow me here on Twitter and on the social media and here on The Balance know that I have been the leading the charge, per se, that says Peyton Manning will stay here in Indianapolis. Now, I will say what I've always preached to everybody is listen to what Irsay says and listen to what Manning says. And listen to what the Colts says. Don't listen to what the media says. Yes, I know I'm one of them. But at the same time, if you want to get the most accurate information, go right to the horse's mouth, per se. And that is no understatement when we talk about Jim Irsay and his freedom of tweets. He no longer wants, I don't think, gets to preach keep it in the family anymore. So as he so elegantly put it at 1 o'clock in the morning the other day, Jay and Brian, that Peyton Manning, number 18, has not passed the Colts physical. To me, reading between the lines, maybe that is a sign that Peyton Manning is to go. But I am still leading the charge, although I am starting to at least listen to the option that possibly Peyton Manning will not be an Indianapolis Colt next year. But it does look like, anyway, that he will be playing somewhere. So, Jay, let's start with you. Let's say that Peyton Manning is not a Colt, which is what everybody seems to believe is the truth and what will happen. What teams pick up Peyton Manning, number 18, for their roster next year?
I mean, you couldn't even begin to speculate. I mean, there are a ton of teams out there that need quarterback. But at the same time, I wanted to comment on me and Joe Green was down in Radio Row yesterday, and he made the comment that he thought that Jim Irsay was just way out of line and unprofessional in being on Twitter and always talking to the media. He was saying, stay out of the media and handle it the right way. I mean, obviously, if from reading between the lines, Peyton Manning's not going to be back. But I said that 5 months ago. But it's one of those situations where you've got to handle it in the house and allow things to just, work out the way they work out without feeding the media and then feeding this thing and making it even more embarrassing and unprofessional. But, there are a ton of teams out there, and I couldn't even begin to speculate. But I just believe that I would like to see Peyton Manning just go ahead and retire. I've been saying that before. He's 36 years old. He's got a neck injury, and he's got children, a wife. He's made $236 million over the course of his career, and he doesn't need any more money. And I understand he wants to play, but you got to think about, his legacy and et cetera.
All right, Brian, and I know you also believe that Peyton Manning will no longer be a Colt next year. So what are your thoughts on that, and where do you think that he'll end up at?
I really, actually, I would want him to retire. You know, I mean, that the whole legacy thing, I mean, you know, him being a Colt and everything, you can't see him going anywhere else, but, you know, he wants to play. So I just think the Colts are looking in a new direction. You know, everyone's going to be new. I mean, it's kind of exciting, you know, that, you know, everything's going to be changing, but, you know, we ain't going to have Peyton. I don't believe we're going to have Peyton Manning. If, I really believe, like, a good fit for him would be somewhere like Tennessee, go back home, you know, to, you know, his college days down there, and, you know, a lot of fans down there love him, and or else maybe even out in Arizona, and then dumping, Kevin Cobb, and, you know, maybe even Miami. But I just don't believe that he'll retire, which I wish he would retire and just become, you know, offensive coordinator or, you know, something in the, you know, Colts organization where he's involved with the Colts. And but I just don't see that happen.
Well, and I totally here's the thing, guys. I think what we're missing here is some moving parts here. And I mentioned this to Jay earlier in the week, and I think you, Brian, and a couple other people. And I just want to play the devil's advocate here. I'm not saying that this is exactly what's going to happen, and by no means am I making a prediction here. But what I am saying is you've got to look at the possibilities. And here's some possibilities to throw out. First of all, they have to do one of three things. They have to release him, trade him, pay him, keep him. If they pay him, that triggers the remainder part of his contract, stays with Colts. Here's the thing. Also, that payment can be delayed. And I know that that is a conversation that Peyton Manning, his agent, and Jim Irsay are having. At the moment, the official statement is that's not going to happen. But sometimes the unofficial statement is the statement. And sometimes what you've got to look at is that could be a possibility. If they push that back, that tells me that Jim Irsay and Peyton Manning, the Colts organization, is looking for a way for Peyton Manning to stay. If it is not pushed back at this moment in the juncture, going with what Jim Irsay said, that he's not past a physical, and if you want to read between the lines of that he won't be a Colt and that he'll move on. Another moving part here, guys, is that nobody's talking about but right here on the balance. And there again, I'm not predicting this. I'm not saying that this is going to happen. I'm saying that it's a variable that could happen that is an option. The Colts could release Peyton Manning, therefore making him an unrestricted free agent. At that point, the Colts could then offer Peyton Manning a new contract and say, we'd like to sign you again to the Indianapolis Colts as our quarterback. Here's what we have to offer. Peyton Manning can take it or reject it or move on about the field and see what else is out there. Now, one would think that if they do release him, Peyton Manning will go on to another team if he's able to play. However, I do believe that he wants to play. I believe he's been working out quite a lot. So I think that he will want to play. Now, whether or not he will want to play with the Colts under Jim Irsay after all of this recent friction, it could be another story. But Peyton Manning is a very, very mature player, a very, very valuable player, a Hall of Fame player. And Jim Irsay also is a Hall of Fame owner. Together they have built one of the top organizations in the NFL. I think that they could put that beside them and move on about if they really wanted to. Now, if Peyton Manning says, hey, I no longer want to be a Colt, where does he go? Okay, you run the numbers. You look at the Colts. You look at the things that he would be able to play in. Miami, no. I don't see a good fit down there in Miami at all. Arizona, that's where old people go to retire. Okay. possibly Arizona. Tennessee, that is, I would say, an absolute no. The two teams that absolutely, when you run the numbers, each team that could possibly, of course, that every team out there, whether or not they're doing it publicly or privately, is going to be a suitor for Peyton Manning. They are going to come to courting. And, you know, really, maybe Peyton Manning wants to say, okay, let's see if the pasture really is greener on the other side. And maybe he will look at all the options before making the decision. That certainly is up to him and his decision to do. But the two teams that I think that would be the most attractive to Peyton Manning, first of all, Peyton Manning isn't going to be interviewed by any team. Many teams are going to be interviewed by Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, let's face it, is going to go anywhere that he wants to go and play anywhere he wants to play. And he's going to play in a system that allows him to be Peyton Manning with no fullbacks, with an offense that he can run at the line of scrimmage and gives him the freedom to do that. There's a lot of teams out there that just don't have that combination. As much as they may like to have Peyton Manning does not want them. So when you run those two, all of those variables together, and you run it and you look at it, and you just step back and you look at it and you say, okay, I can narrow it down to two teams, if not the Indianapolis Colts of retirement. So there's three options, if you ask me: the Washington Redskins, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Indianapolis Colts, or retirement. Washington Redskins allow him to play that, although he'll be in the same division as Eli, as Eli. And Kansas City, he'll be playing a lot. Maybe not a lot, but he'll be playing some against the Indianapolis Colts. So I would think that you would see him go to Kansas City. I think that's a good fit for him. So if you wanted to narrow and play the process of elimination game, he goes to Kansas City. Guys, thoughts?
I tell you, anyone that picks him up will pay very little. He won't get anywhere near the money that he thinks that he could get, or he would get if he stayed in Indy, if they were to keep him. Because when you've got a guy that's 36 years old with a neck injury, who's one missed assignment from ending his career, nobody's going to put big money on the table. So the question is he willing to take a whole lot less money to continue to play and put himself at risk? I don't think he's willing to do that. I mean, when I'm talking a whole lot less, I'm talking less than $10 million. And nobody's going to give him $15, $20 million with that lingering around in
Are you still there, Jay? All right, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I believe. I mean, he goes somewhere else. I mean, he's not going to get anywhere near what he's getting right now. It's going to be, like Jay said, somewhere in the neighborhood of, less than $10 million, probably around like 7 to 8, and maybe 9. And no team's going to pay him that crazy amount of money with that kind of injury. But
come back, fellas.
I can see him going somewhere to, the Kansas City Chiefs. But then again, they just picked up Orton, and, I don't know. It's an odd situation that we're actually even talking about this. Peyton may not be a Colt. I mean, it's weird. We can't, we can't. I mean, you want to talk about, where we were at a year ago, you'd never imagine this, this would have come to this. And it's just crazy just talking about it.
Go ahead, Jay.
I completely agree with what he's saying, because we talked about this before. I just don't want to see Peyton Manning standing in the parking lot fighting over the girl that he used to date that no longer is interested in it. It's one of those where you don't want to end up looking like Brett Favre did a few years ago when he just wouldn't walk away. He could have walked away easily and held his reputation in check, et cetera. Peyton Manning is too well respected, has done too much for this city and for the organization to get into a situation where they're fighting in the parking lot. And right now they're arguing in the doorway, because Irsay is, in my opinion, has been unprofessional in the way he's handled it. So now it looks like it's about to get ugly. And you just don't want that to happen. I'd like to see him retire, but if he continues to play, any GM in his right mind wouldn't pay him ridiculous money to come, because he could literally have his career ended in a matter of two plays.
Well, guys, we're going to have to take a break. When we get back, that's all the Peyton Manning conversation that we have time for. We're going to have a little bit of it with Jason Hammer and Greg Straw the rest of this hour. And we'll pick up Peyton Manning next week. Believe me, this conversation is going to be going around for a long time. We're live here in Indianapolis. It is Super Weekend here in Indianapolis. So glad that you could join us. We'll be right back. It is time for the Super Bowl.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indy Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Just when you think the party's over.
There's nothing stopping this one, man.
We're just getting started. WROM Radio. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, now it's all the way live, kicking it right here. Woo, Super Bowl Village, baby. Hanging out with the Super Band. All the party people in the house. We getting ready to rock and shock them and jam them, baby. Woo! Time of good eating, good greeting, good meetings, baby. Telephone, tell a friend. Come on down. Woo! Enjoy yourself. Yeah.
All right, boys and girls. All right, all right. We are live in Indianapolis, Indiana, and it is Super Bowl weekend. And right alongside me is Mr. Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com. Holla at your boy.
Holla at your boy.
Holla at your boy. And Brian Jensen, super Colts fan. And I ran into Mike down at the Super Bowl Village doing his normal strutting around the village there, Brian, and I had to grab him and have him give me a sound bite for our Super Bowl weekend. Thank you, Mr. Mike. And I know, Brian, you know Mike real well. See, the two of you guys could have had a ball down here, brother.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it.
Should I rub it in anymore? Well, guys, we're going to be standing by.
Is Brian not in town?
No, I'm back in Illinois.
You want to be a responsible guy, you know, take care of the family, work, you know, pay bills. Dude, all I'm saying is, I'm just kidding with you. I admire you, man. I applaud you, man. Pay your bills. Don't try this at home, guys. Don't listen to me. I'll get you divorced.
I just can't go down there with a bunch of Patriots fans and, you know, be around all those, you know, the Patriots colors. I'm looking on Facebook, and people are saying it looks really ugly down there. I mean, even though, yes, it's red, white, and blue, but it's Patriots colors. It's looking pretty ugly down there. I can't be around that.
Well, for what I've seen, it's probably 80% New York Giants fans running around here.
That's good. That's good.
There's a lot of Giants fans. Hey, guys, well, we got to really move this show along. We're standing by here for Greg Gregstraw. I tell you what, I want to thank my – you know what's great about Indianapolis, Jay, and you know this, is, you know, we're all good, all of us guys here in the media. You know, I've been around the Indianapolis radio market for a good number of years. So, I've developed some connections and some networking. I know you were down at Media Day, and you saw it from a different angle, but I connected with our friends over at DoIndy.com, and they were down on the field, and I said, hey, man, can you shoot me some sound bites of what you found out at Media Day and how it went for you at Media Day? They were more than glad to oblige us. Guys, go to GoIndy.com, and here's their day at Media Day.
This is your Doing Indy crew, Zach and Evan, live from Lucas Oil Stadium at the Super Bowl 46 Media Day. We're hoping to chat a little bit with Tom Brady, maybe Bill Belichick, possibly Eli Manning, but I'm really hoping just to ask Giselle what she thinks of Indianapolis. Follow along and let's see what they have to say. What do you think of Indianapolis as a Super Bowl host city?
I think it's been great. Indianapolis has done a great job. The people, the town, the city has really welcomed. I know the Giants and our organization.
Everything's very convenient. I've been coming here since 1991 for the Combine every year. I spend more time in Indianapolis than any other NFL city other than the ones I've lived in.
Proximity, the ability, everything's close, good restaurants, great host city. It's funny, I've had other media members sitting there, you know, boy, they didn't realize it was going to be this good, and I kind of laugh at it. I expect it.
Yeah. Here with Christy Lee. Christy, what do you think about the Super Bowl being in your hometown?
Well, it's amazing. I've had the opportunity to be downtown 3 or 4 different times already, and every time I come down here, I am just blown away by the amount of work that went into it and how incredible our city looks. I couldn't be prouder.
We've only been here for 2 days, but it's been nice so far. It's nice to be over at the Colts facility. They got a nice facility. So.
It's good, man. There's a lot of good people around here. It's a good environment. A lot of people love football around here, and it's a good crowd to be around.
What do you think about Indianapolis as a Super Bowl host city?
Perfect. Perfect. The hinterlands has embraced me and embraces the world. They are the perfect hosts. They have held giant parties before, but their hospitality is unparalleled. Their friendliness and genuine warmth to me, what they could have thrown on the street, probably locked me up last night. It's Steak and Shake. What I was doing in Steak and Shake should have gotten me 2 years in jail somewhere, you know, near John Wooden's great hometown, some small jail somewhere.
How many shrimp cocktails will you have by the end of the week?
We went to St. Elmo's last night, and we had some classic reactions by some of the players who I did not give them a real heads up. I told them that, you know, make sure you load up on the cocktail sauce.
When got some shrimp stuck in my beard down at
St. Elmo's,
and so far it's been wonderful.
By the end of Sunday, how many times will you have done the salsa?
Hopefully just once, and that's during the game in the end zone. But other than that, hopefully I won't have to do it anymore than that.
The city's all dolled up. We got zip lines and bands playing in all the streets, and, you know.
All right, Media Day. A look at Media Day in downtown Indianapolis. My name's Tom Marquis. Right alongside me is Mr. Jay Graves, Brian Jensen, Super Colts fan. It's The Balance. We're live in Indianapolis. We are pleased to have with us the guy. I tell you what, a Super Bowl weekend brings out the A-list of the A-list, and we are proud to have one of those A-list broadcasters from the Indianapolis sports media, Mr. Greg Gregstraw, with us. Greg, welcome to The Balance.
Good morning, gentlemen.
It is so good to have you along with us. Well, first of all, Greg, I want to know, have you did the zip?
I did not do the zip line. I didn't want to be one of those people in case the harness ever broke. You know, I've lost some weight, but still didn't feel like testing the boundaries of the zip line. So I thought it was best viewed watching people fly by overhead than having me be a part of it. That, and I'm cheap.
Fantastic. And I know you'll probably be making your rounds to all the Super Bowl parties. Were you out at the leather and lace party last night?
You know, I happened to miss that one. I offered my services to be a paid correspondent to numerous of the parties. It's funny how this time of year, even though everybody is talking football, my schedule remains unchanged. I've got basketball for the fifth consecutive day today. So it still is basketball season. So I've been taking a lot of this in from afar. Went downtown early in the week. Certainly have had Super Bowl and Peyton Manning stuff on the brain. But basketball season hasn't taken a breather for me over the last few days.
Well, and I tell you what, and we're going to get into this in the second hour. Too bad you can't join us with Evan Williams and Jimmy the Intern. We're going to really break down this IU and Purdue game, two teams that are really started out strong, especially with IU, and IU seem to have lost a lot of steam. And I know, Greg, you do a fantastic job in covering just about everything here in the Indianapolis market. So one thing I do want to talk with you about before we let you go and before we get into the Super Bowl is that farting white elephant in the room is Mr. Peyton Manning. Is he staying with the Colts or not? Simple question.
No, he's gone.
But not
simple
a simple answer.
simple as that, he's gone. And I think the actions of the last couple of weeks on both sides have kind of cemented that. But, again, even if both sides had handled this a little bit better, I still think the answer is the same. And even if Peyton Manning can continue his career, because the Colts have the rare opportunity to, you know, replace one legend with somebody who maybe is destined to be another one, and, again, combined with the absolute cap mess that the Indianapolis Colts are in, I don't know if they can put a good team around Peyton Manning if he stays as the starting quarterback. And as counterintuitive as this seems, the best way maybe to quickly build this thing back up is to let go of one of the best players in NFL history. But because of the cap situation the Colts have, I think that's the primary reason why Peyton Manning won't be back here next year.
All right, Jay, do you have any comments or questions for Greg Regstraw on Peyton Manning?
You know, I just completely agree with him. I think that even if you wanted to keep him, it just doesn't make financial sense to keep him.
The baby agrees. The baby agrees.
Was that your baby, Greg?
It's a situation where the CBA – now having Andrew Luck not making as much money, it's possible to keep those two guys on the same roster. It really is. Because everybody talks about $28 million. Really, the cap number for Peyton next year is going to be $17 million. If the Colts release him, the cap hit for Peyton Manning is going to be $10 million for the upcoming season. So it's possible to keep both guys. But Reggie Wayne, Pierre Garçon, Robert Mathis, Dwight Freeney is going to make $19 million. There's going to be a $19 million cap hit. That deal has to get redone. And, again, there are so many holes this team has to fill. That's the reason why you can't have both Peyton Manning and both Andrew Luck on this team. The cap numbers just simply do not – the math doesn't work.
Well, I'm the only one leading this charge around town and around the media world. I think everybody has this foregone conclusion that we're going to have Andrew Luck as our next franchise quarterback. And I subscribe to the theory that possibly Peyton Manning and the Colts will work things out and we draft Griffin the third. Peyton Manning retires in a year and RG3 is the franchise quarterback. What about that scenario?
Do you expect to see the Easter Bunny at your front door on April the 8th?
I do.
Santa Claus deliver you your presents back on December the 25th?
I do.
And then do you have a deal with Uncle Sam where you don't pay taxes on April the 15th? because I need to hang in your world. I think it's a done deal that Andrew Luck, and I thought maybe, you know, I had kind of a fan moment as well. The other night on Thursday night, I suppose, when it was that Peyton Manning's folks let go of the statement, hey, he's been cleared by two doctors, to resume football activities, to resume his career. I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe you can keep Peyton Manning around here. Maybe you can trade off that number one pick. Maybe that works out. And then you have Chip Irsay respond the way he did on Twitter and feel like, no, this deal is done. He is going to be heading elsewhere.
Which brings me to my next question, and I know, Jay, you've got a question there too, but it brings me to my next question. You know, I don't know if it's the alcohol, the environment, and I say alcohol, not that Irsay's an alcoholic, but let's face it, if you're tweeting at 1 o'clock in the morning, it's pretty much a drunk tweet, in my opinion. What kind of example does Jim Irsay lead with his tweet world and sending out a drunk tweet about Peyton Manning for the world to see, knowing that everybody's seeing him and watching him, and then give that lecture to Peyton Manning? It's almost hypocritical. His team, he could do what he wants with it, but what are your thoughts about it? It's almost like he's a different person. Someone needs to take his phone away from him when he goes out at night.
Well, I would say I think the Twitter feed needs to stop for Jim Irsay, period. This has gone past the point of being a novelty, of relating to fans, of being an interactive owner. Those things are all great, but there's a fine line between giving away too much information. And there were times during the year this year that I was amazed at some of the things that Jim was saying about personnel, about the team, and not in a negative way. I mean, he's like, this information, injury, et cetera, knowing how much of a lockdown that Bill Polian likes to keep on things, I'm stunned that Bill didn't blow a gasket over the situation. And I'll liken it to Mark Cuban in the NBA. And again, Mark Cuban is an owner that we all like, and Jim is still a guy that I like, and Jim is still a guy that I like as the owner of my football team. But there is a point in time, not to be an old fuddy-duddy or a stick in the mud, where there is conduct becoming of an owner. And in this situation, while there's a lot of blame for how information has been leaked, for how this story has been handled, you know, on more than one occasion after guys said, hey, the focus this week needs to be on the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning and followed up by Jim Irsay have quickly yanked the attention of sports fans back to them during the course of this week. While both guys get the blame, I'll also put more blame on Jim Irsay, because I have high expectations for Peyton Manning, but at the end of the day, I expect better conduct from the owner more so than I do the player, especially when on the player's standpoint, it certainly appears that he's had to uproot his life a little bit and will likely have to play elsewhere next year. I expect better conduct from Jim Irsay, and that's why I'm surprised that Roger Goodell has not come to him and said, can it, get off of Twitter, quit doing these things, almost like a teenager losing his driving privileges. Take the keys. It's obviously you're not ready for this responsibility just yet.
I absolutely agree. Jay, do you have anything for Greg before we move on to the big game at hand? Because there is a game here in town, believe it or not, this weekend.
No, I completely agree with Greg. I just think that it doesn't make sense as an owner to put family business out in the street when you know that everyone's watching.
And let's face it, guys, Jim's going to have the final say on this. And at some point in time, over the last week, my almost hope would have been just kind of file that away in the memory, saying, all right, you know, we talked about last week that this was going to be it. You go on the offensive. I'll be the bigger man. I'll just say, hey, you know, we'll talk about this further once Super Bowl is over. But you can just think in your own mind, hey, I'm moved on. I'm going to make this decision. There is no need to then respond again. Again, you know, I made a reference to Mark Cuban. Maybe the guy I should have referenced is Dan Gilbert for how he handled the situation with LeBron James leaving Cleveland a year and a half ago. It's not been that bad by Jim Irsay, but it's been in that ballpark, and that's never a good thing.
All right, guys, well, we want to move on to the big game at hand, the Giants and the Patriots, Super Bowl rematch. I don't even see how this happens, but the Patriots are the favorite to win this game, especially when you look at, Greg, when you look at what the Giants did to New England earlier on in the season, and they weren't even up to full staff playing to the level that they were playing. They were two completely different teams that beat them then. That beat all some really good teams to get into the Super Bowl. Actually, I think the Giants had to fight harder to get here than the Patriots did, yet the Patriots are the favorite. What are your thoughts about the game, and kind of break it down for us from your perspective?
I'm of a like-minded view. I'm stunned the Patriots are favorites in this game because I think the, you know, and I think the balance of power has shifted back. You know, we have seen it with the Colts, Patriots, and Steelers. You know, the AFC has frankly been a whole lot tougher and a whole lot more loaded over the course of the last decade. Now I think that has shifted back over to the NFC, where the better teams, you know, the Giants are the fourth best team in the NFC, and yet most of the experts, are thinking, you know, that the Giants are the better team, and I would agree with that. And if you look at this on a matchup by matchup basis, that's why people are picking the Giants to win this game. But I'll keep coming back to how long do teams tend to have the number of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? And the answer is not long. When I make a selection or a pick for this game, I look at things like, you know, the Giants have beaten the Patriots the last two times they have played. I realize they're separated by 4 years. But the Giants have won both games. Teams often don't beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady three times in a row, twice in 1 year. That's very rare. And the other thing that I will say is this, and I'll bring this home for Indianapolis fans. New England is trying to do something the Colts did when they won the Super Bowl some 5 years ago, and that is be flat awful defensively for the majority of the year, yet find a way as the season goes along, and especially in the postseason, find a way to crank that up and be much better on the defensive side of the football. The Colts were one of the worst defenses in history against the run in 2006. They get to January, you couldn't run on them. And the Patriots are starting to turn that way against the pass. Now, they're going to face a much better offense than they have seen so far in the Giants than the Broncos or the Ravens. But I still think there's just I will lean towards the Patriots. If I'm in Vegas, I'm taking the points I'm getting, and I'm going with the Giants. But if I'm picking straight up, give me New England. Well, I think it's going to be a really good game come Sunday.
And I think you're right. I think it's going to be one of the best games we've seen in Super Bowl history. And certainly Indianapolis has put on a great performance here for the NFL, and hopefully we'll get another Super Bowl in the future. Jay, anything for Greg before we let him go?
No, Greg, good talking to you, buddy.
All right, Jay. Tom, have a good one. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Greg Straub, Hometown Sports Indiana. So glad that he could join us. He's a very busy guy, as he said, covering basketball. And really, I tell you what, guys, nobody covers more sports. And I'm not just exaggerating this because he just came on our show, and I got to say something nice about the guy. I'm going to tell you what, I've known Greg for a long, long time, and we go back to our days back at ESPN Radio here in town. And that boy covers everything. And I tell you what, if we had a broadcast play-by-play for beer pong, Greg would be the guy right there. Actually, no, probably our next guest would be Mr. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. But go ahead, Brian, do you have any thoughts on this game coming up, the Giants and the Patriots? Obviously, we know that you like the Giants. Nobody likes the Patriots. And we like to talk with you, Brian, because you bring the fans' perspective to the show. So, obviously, a lot of Colts fans are rooting for the Giants. I'm certainly one of those guys that at the Super Bowl party here at my house on Sunday, I will be rooting for the Giants. But you've got to look at it, like Greg said, it's going to be a battle on the field between two very dominant teams, and it's going to be one of the best Super Bowls we've ever seen. So, Brian, what are your thoughts as we get ready for our next guest, Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show?
Well, I just, tomorrow's show I'll break it down a little bit more, but, I mean, just to, you know, go over it real quick, I just think the Giants, I mean, I think the Giants are just – they're not going to kill them, but I think they'll win by at least 10, maybe 14 points. Because I mean, you know, you look at what the Patriots have, who are the Patriots that have played in the playoffs, no one with any kind of like, you know, decent offenses. I mean, Baltimore was all right, and then they go back into the regular season. Who was the last team that they actually had a decent enough offense to, you know, beat the Patriots? And it's, you know, nobody. Not, you know, the Patriots don't, you know, their secondary is horrible. Okay, I mean, I don't see them stopping the Giants. And, you know, Manningham and Cruz and, you know, Knicks and, you know, I just think the Giants are going to be on top of their game, and they're going to be like, you know, hey, let's go out here, let's do it again. You know, we beat them before, a few years back, let's go out here and let's do it again. They're like the kryptonite of them. You know, I mean, I don't think that the Patriots are going to stop them.
Well, we'll certainly find out. We've got to go to a break real quickly. Mr. Jay, any final thoughts on what Greg Gregstraw had to say about the Patriots and the Giants?
Well, you know what? I'm with everyone else in terms of going with the Giants, simply because the Giants have a very balanced offense. Patriots got the 31st ranked defense in the league, and Gronkowski, who the offense has been going through the entire season, is gimped up. That tight end is very vital to that offense of the New England Patriots. And now that it's gimped, they're going to have problems trying to run their offense at this point. So I'm going with the Giants all day, and I think it'll be a double-digit win, at least 10 points.
Well, we're going to find out. We'll be right back with Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. Guys, I'll tell you what, the A-list guests that we have for this show never ends. You're listening to The Balance on the Balance Radio Network, coast to coast. My name's Sean Marquis, your host. We'll be right back. We are live in Indianapolis.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquis Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquis Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquis Solutions, work with them today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
The best hits, best hits, and the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's.
Welcome back to The Balance. It is Super Weekend, and we are live here in Indianapolis. And, guys, it is a Super Bowl here in town. Want to thank all of our sponsors, and I apologize for WROM up in Detroit. realmsofmusic.com. Guys, I know I got anxious. It's Super Bowl weekend. I cut you off there at the end. I promise you guys I owe you a spot, and we'll get it back on for you. And just got a little jittery there because of our next guest. Gets me all nervous and excited, Mr. Jason Hammer of the Jason and Hammer, I mean the Hammer and Nigel show. I'll get it right. How you doing, Jason?
Dude, I was jamming to the pump up the volume re-entry music right there. You can just let that baby play.
There you go, brother. Hey, man, I tell you what, we're asking everybody that comes on the air here, have they done the zip? Have you been zipping there, Mr. Hammer?
I've wanted to, but patience is not a real big virtue with me, and I just can't stand in line for an hour and a half or more to do the zip line. So I would do it, but I have not had a chance to do that. I've been in the Village a lot, but the line for that bad boy has been wrapped around blocks, and that's not something that really interests me.
Well, I'm glad that you took interest in the balance today. I know you're a super busy guy this weekend, no pun intended, and you're making your way throughout all the parties. I'm sure you were spotted out last night at the Leather and Lace party.
Yeah. You know, I was getting, you know, late night texts from all the bunnies. You know how it is. It's hard to be me sometimes, Tom.
I wish I could be you. Well, hey, I tell you what, we just got done talking with Greg Rachel about Peyton Manning. Obviously, that's a farting elephant in the room. It's going to be farting for a while yet. You're certainly welcome to chime in on that conversation. But really, we want to talk about the big game, the Patriots and the Giants. What are your thoughts? First of all, what are your thoughts about Indianapolis' first Super Bowl? You've been in the media here in Indianapolis for a long time. I think Indianapolis has did a class act, and I think that we should get another Super Bowl in the future. I think we did a fantastic job of putting on a show here for the world, quite literally for the world. So what are your thoughts about that, and what are your thoughts about the big game this weekend?
Well, first of all, I think Indianapolis has just dominated hosting this event. I mean, you could not ask for anything better. And on top of that, we've had, you know, some unseasonably warm temperatures. So it was the perfect storm of everything going right so far. And last night downtown, I don't know if you've seen the pictures or went down, it looked like Times Square, block after block, just seas of people. But at the end of the day, everybody was safe. Everything was taken care of. There were no major incidents. It's been a well-oiled machine. And, yes, I do think Indianapolis is going to get another one. I've covered a couple Super Bowls. I've been, you know, down in South Beach in Miami, and Indianapolis is doing a better job. Yes, you don't have the nightlife of South Beach or the ocean, you know, or maybe even the weather, but the fact that all the events are so close together, everybody can mingle with everybody, everything is within walking distance, it's like a big block party for adults. It's adult spring break right now in downtown Indianapolis. And yes, I think we will get another one. And more important than that, what I think this does is this puts the ball in motion for other cold weather cities to host the event. Because this was kind of the guinea pig. The Super Bowl has been in Detroit. It's been in Minnesota. But they were kind of hesitant to go to a small market in the Midwest. Is this really going to work? And they've seen that the way that we have pulled this off. So now I think you can look for Chicago to try to get their Super Bowl bid, places like St. Louis or Kansas City to try to get their Super Bowl bids, because they're going to argue, if Indianapolis can dominate this, if Indianapolis can do this or that, why can't we? So the job that Indy has done hosting this event, I think, puts the ball in motion moving forward for other similar type of cities to try to host the event themselves.
All right, JD, we're with us also is Mr. Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report and Super Colts fan Brian Jensen. But, Jay, you have anything for Mr. Jason Hammer?
Well, you know what? I agree with Jason, but I also want to say that the weather, probably 95%, is responsible for the success. Because if it were 10 degrees and 10 inches of snow, people wouldn't be participating the way they are. So I'm just happy that the weather just held up. Even if it fell apart today, we've had a great week. Even if we had 20 inches of snow today, no one would care. But I think the weather had a lot to do with it.
Oh, you're right, and I would agree with that. The weather has been just short of amazing. But going back to the Super Bowls in Miami, where the Colts were a part of, the weather was gorgeous. I mean, it's what you would expect for South Florida. and yeah. the crowds were nowhere near, nowhere near what we're seeing here. I just think the city of Indianapolis has done a better job of promoting the event, hyping the event up, and, of course, the weather helps.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, I'm on your Twitter page here, and I'm so disturbed right now, I don't even know how to put this into words. But, dude, does that have to be your background? I mean, I don't get it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Those who know me know that I am a huge Burt Reynolds fan. And my Twitter avatar, my background, is my face photoshopped on the infamous bearskin rug photo of Burt Reynolds. So if you follow me on Twitter, at Jason Allen Hammer, A-L-A-N, at Jason Allen Hammer, you will see that bad boy in all of its glory.
Well, you know, that just leads a perfect segue for us to talk about the Hammer and Nigel show, because it is an adult over 21 show, but what a great time you have with the show. Tell us a little bit about Hammer and Nigel and hammerandnigel.com before we let you go.
Yeah, I've teamed up with my pal Nigel. A lot of local folks remember Big Nige from his days at X103 and Radio Now and so forth, former Indianapolis Personality of the Year. We've kind of got together and we do a little podcast show at Hammer and Nigel. You can find us online at hammerandnigel.com. We put some videos together. We have some fun. There's, you know, opinions. We do the podcast show each week before a nice drunken studio audience at Coach's Tavern downtown. It's every Thursday at 9. We try to bring some local guests in, chat them up a little bit, get them to loosen up a little bit. And, you know, there may be a few adult words that get said from time to time, but it's certainly not like a blue show or anything like that. So it's a fun deal. It's a good deal. And it's interesting sometimes to hear the people that we see on television or, you know, watch play games here in Indianapolis open up a little bit after a few cocktails.
Oh, yeah, and I love your show. I've been down there before, and you guys really need to check it out. Well, okay, real quickly, Jason, who wins, the Giants or the Patriots, and why?
You know what? Everything in my body says I should take the Giants in this game because they match up better. The quarterback matchup, in essence, is kind of a wash, maybe advantage New England, but everything else favors the Giants defensively, the running game, special teams, everything else. But there's a part of me that thinks, man, if you give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare and he's already upset that he lost to this team in another Super Bowl, that's just tough. And it's hard to imagine Tom Brady dropping two Super Bowls in a row. So, you know, it's tough. Las Vegas has the Patriots as a 2.5-point favorite. Vegas is usually right. But at the end of the day, I just can't pick those fine folks from Foxborough. I'm going to pick the G-men on this one.
All right, Jay, do you have any final thoughts for Jason Hammer from the Hammer and Nigel show?
No, man, it's been great talking to you, though.
Hey, you too, brother. Thanks.
All right, Jason, where can people find your masterpieces at across the World Wide Web?
Masterpieces is a bold word. I thank you for that. But you can check it out on the website, hammerandnigel.com, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/hammerandnigel, Twitter at hammerandnigel.
All right, my man, you have a good, safe weekend, and where's your Super Bowl party tonight you're going to be at?
tonight, I'm keeping it low-key. I'm going to be hanging out with Cool and the Gang at Indiana Live Casino in Shelbyville. Cool and the Gang's doing a free show there, so anybody that doesn't want to get involved in the wall-to-wall chaos of downtown, come hang out with me. I'm going to be DJing at the casino. We're going to have Cool and the Gang on stage, and it's all free, so come check it out.
There you go, a celebration night for Mr. Jason Hammer. Well, buddy, we appreciate it. You're always welcome here on The Balance. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too, Tom. Thanks, man.
Thanks. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show. Always fun to have Jason Hammer on. And you never know, Jay, what's going to happen when you open up one of his websites. And I open up Twitter to let the world know that Jason Hammer's on our show. And, dude, I'll never be the same, man. I'm just saying. Don't mimic that on Hammer's. Y'all don't want me to do that. That's for sure. Jason, I mean, Jay, I know that you've got to hit the trails as well. You're going to be headed down to Super Bowl Village. I'm going to be down there a little bit later on tonight. And I'll tell you what, I am going to try like heck to bring back Fan Talk. And those of you that are longtime listeners here of The Balance, you know what Fan Talk is. And basically what that means is we get out amongst the fans and we talk to the fans about what's going on. We usually do that at one of the races, and we'll do that down at the Super Bowl tonight. So hopefully we'll have that for the show tomorrow. Jay, I don't think you can make it tomorrow, but where can people find your work at, and what's going on with you tonight?
Hey, you can find me at thejgravesreport.com, or you can hit me up at Twitter, at jgravesreport. Yeah, I'm going to be downtown today, and this evening I'll be covering the Pacers game, Pacers Magic tonight. See, the Pacers came off a big win of beating Dallas last night, scoring darn near 100 points. So looks like they're on a roll. They're doing well.
All right, Mr. Jay Graves, you are always welcome here on The Balance. I'll meet you down at the zip line. I'll do it if you do it.
Hey, man, that won't happen, brother.
Because the brothers don't go zipping, right?
The brothers don't zip, man.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you. You have yourself a good weekend.
All right, man. Holla at your boy.
Holla at your boy. Mr. Jay Graves of the jgravesreport.com. Guys, we are live in Indianapolis. It is Super Bowl weekend. We'll be right back with Jimmy the Intern and Evan Williams. That's right. It can only mean one thing. Hour number two on Saturday, it's time to talk hoops. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
All right, now it's all the way live, kicking it right here. Woo, Super Bowl Village, baby. Hanging out with the Super Band. All the party people in the house. We're getting ready to rock and shock them and jam them, baby. Woo, time of good eating, good greeting, good meetings, baby. Telephone, tell a friend, come on down. Woo, enjoy yourself. Yeah.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Here we go again.
The best hits. Best hits. And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
baby, yeah. Welcome back to the Ballots. It's Saturday morning. We are live here in Indianapolis. It is Super Bowl weekend. So glad that you could join us. And tomorrow, guys, make sure that you're right here on the Ballots Radio Network from 9 to 11 o'clock for our annual Super Bowl special. And we will be live right here in Indianapolis. It has been a fantastic week here in Indianapolis. If you've not gotten out here or you live close enough or you just want to make a road trip, Indianapolis is the location to be. All the who's of who's, the celebrity, the A-list people are here with us. Nothing but football going on tomorrow here on The Ballots. But hour number two, segment number two, that means on Saturday it is time to talk hoops. Joining me now is Jimmy the Intern, a.k.a. Jimmy Kavanaugh, and also Mr. Evan Williams of Bleeding Gold and Black up in Purdue. Guys, I tell you what, we have been gearing up for this all year long. It is that time of year, and I am not talking about the Super Bowl. I am talking about the Super Bowl of basketball, especially here in the Midwest in Indiana, and that is Purdue and IU hitting the courts together, guys. All right, Jimmy, are you with us?
Yeah, Tom, I'm here coming in loud and clear and actually ready to check out this game tonight, hoping for a good result for Indiana, but mainly just hoping for a good game all around.
All right. Did you take the Ghetto Cruiser up there?
I did indeed. You know, it handled pretty nicely on the country back roads. I didn't screw around with 65 because I figured that was going to be some pretty heavy traffic, especially when I was heading up. So I just I went through a lot of that two-lane highway, probably about 60 miles of driving from Indianapolis. But, you know, it was well worth it. It was a good time.
You and Evan need to hook up after the game for some post-game celebrations and have your own little super celebration. Mr. Evan Williams, are you with us?
I'm here, Tom, live from Purdue University on this nice rainy day up in West Lafayette.
I tell you what, here in Indianapolis, it has been a beautiful week, all week long. And we could not have T-boned it any better, guys, to have the weather that we have. And then for it to come here on Saturday and for it to be like this. But, hey, that's okay because it's a Super Bowl, right? Because it really doesn't matter. Who ever heard of having a Super Bowl in a cold weather city anyway? It's worked out great here, guys. Let me ask you this. Y'all are close enough to Indianapolis. Have either one of you made it down here to Indianapolis this week and checked out the Super Bowl Village?
I drove through Indy this week, actually, on the way up, and I've had plenty of friends who've gone up. I personally have not. I haven't had the opportunity or the time, but had a bunch of people, friends that I knew, went with the IU Sport Communication Club to witness live Bob Costas's pregame show taping that was taped on Thursday night, and that was apparently a pretty good time. I've heard nothing but good things about the Indianapolis setup so far.
So you watched a live taping. Kind of an oxymoron there, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, all right, let's jump right into it. The reason that we're here, because it's hour number two, segment number two of The Ballots, here on Saturday, in which means it can only mean one thing, is hoop talk. And the big game that we want to break down first, and then we'll get into the rest of the Big Ten, guys, is Purdue and IU. So we're going to start with you, Evan, because you have the home court advantage tonight. IU-Purdue, break it down for us by the numbers. What are the keys, what are the strengths, and what are the things that Purdue has to do to beat IU?
Well, Tom, I can say that everyone is very excited here on campus about the game. This is, it's like you said, it's the Super Bowl of the basketball season for us right now. Huge game. Rivalry is coming back, you know, and it's good to see. I like it when, you know, Purdue and IU are both good, and it's going to be a competitive game. I think for Purdue, you have to protect Mackey. You can't lose to IU, and you can't lose to IU at Mackey Arena. So I think that's going to be key, is just coming out and playing hard. But the biggest thing I'd have to say right now is you can't let Jordan Holes get hot. And he's the guy who I think, if IU wins, is going to be the catalyst and lead the Hoosiers over Purdue if Purdue doesn't shut down Holes. He's the great shooter. And I really think that we're going to have to stay on him tough and not let him get any open shots. Otherwise, it could go south real quick.
Well, I tell you what, and I think that Purdue is has turned it on, whereas IU has kind of turned it off a little bit, and we're going to find out tonight at 7 o'clock. I know I think Purdue's favored by, and I don't know the exact spread, but I think it's around 4.5 on that, and I could be wrong on that. Maybe, Jimmy, you know better. Okay, Jimmy, your turn. You're going to be there, IU, Purdue, and as we both know, this is the biggest game of the year. Throw everything out of the record books. It doesn't matter. Just beat Purdue at all costs. What does IU have to do to beat Purdue?
Well, I think really beating Purdue is going to come down to two things, and before I get into that, I do think the most recent line I saw was 4.5. I haven't had internet for a couple of days, so that could have changed. But as far as beating Purdue goes, I think there are two things that IU has to focus on. And number one, perimeter defense, which has been their main problem all year if they've had one. Michigan shot pretty well from three last game, and guys not named Tim Hardaway shot 50% from three-point line. You know, Trey Burke got chances, Stu Douglas got opportunities. And, you know, Purdue, while they don't have a whole lot of guys who are really capable from out there, Ryan Smith, DJ Bird, and Robbie Hummel are going to be essential for the Boilermakers if they want to pull this upset. I would call it an upset, too, because IU is still ranked at this point, even though Purdue's favored in Mackey Arena. I don't know the last time IU beat Purdue at Mackey. It seems like it's been forever. And I'll say this much, that if DJ Bird or Ryan Smith get hot, it's going to be very, very difficult to beat the Boilers, because IU's really had trouble guarding the perimeter. But if one of those guys don't have shots falling, if they can keep locked up on Robbie Hummel and try to keep track of where Ryan Smith and DJ Bird are, I don't think outside of those three guys, Purdue has somebody who's going to really hurt IU from the perimeter. So as long as they focus on those guys, I think they should have a pretty decent chance in this one.
All right, guys. Well, you know, here's an interesting thing about this game, guys. Like I said, both teams have struggled in their own right. Obviously, IU, for whatever reason, turned it on strong and then have really been struggling. You know, once again, you know, the Hoosiers got off to a slow start on Wednesday night, really fall into a 13-0 hole against the Wolverines, and you know, trying to dig their way out of over the last remaining 35 minutes. I guess where I'm at with this game is IU has to step out from the beginning and lead from the beginning. I don't know that IU has what it takes to beat Purdue with the momentum that Purdue has right now, and I think that's a big reason why Purdue is favored by 4.5. However, if IU can go out there and play the kind of basketball they did against Kentucky, I think that IU can really do a great, great game. Hi, this is Tom on the ballots. Who's this?
Hey, Elwood. I'm in Indianapolis, actually. Listening to your show.
Well, glad you're listening.
Well, I thought you guys would get a kick out of this. Last night, I was at the Super Bowl event, and it was, sea of people. But there were some Boston people, some New York people, and they told me, they says, now, you're from Indianapolis, and here in Indiana, you don't understand what a crosstown rivalry is like with the Giants and the Jets. And I was like, guys, Purdue and IU in Indiana is as big a crosstown rival as you've ever seen. And they were like, what? It was so funny. I thought, oh. They think we have no crosstown rivalries. I'm like, oh, gee, dude, I went to IUPUI. I know it's you really are conflicted there on who to root for, you know, because you can't root for your own team.
Absolutely. And caller, thanks for your call. We appreciate you calling, and let your friends know where to find us here on the balance.
We're getting ready to stagger up to Anderson to Hoosier Park. We got to get out of Indy for a while. It's such a madhouse. We'll go up to Anderson.
All right. Well, you have yourself a good weekend, and thanks for calling in.
Oh.
It's always good. It's always good to have a caller come in, call in, and a listener's call in. And guys, we do. We have thousands of listeners today, and I watched just our board chart just go off the hook here because we've connected with Super Bowl Indy and all the social media with the Super Bowl, and we're pushing our show through that social media channel. So we've got a lot of people that maybe ordinarily wouldn't listen to us. So, guys, if you are listening to us and you're in Indianapolis for the Super Bowl or you just happen to be connected with the Super Bowl social media, we are so glad that you could join us. Because I can tell you right now, we have thousands of listeners right now, guys. And we're talking some hoops, basketball. But give us a call, 917-889-8516. Okay, Evan, you're up. Let's talk a little bit more about this Purdue-IU matchup. Where are some of the strengths that IU has that you think that Purdue's going to have a hard time with?
Well, Tom, I think the biggest strength and advantage that IU has is Cody Zeller, and that's because he's played great all season. I think he's lived up to his expectations very well. And because Purdue really doesn't have that big inside presence this year, I think it's going to be tough to guard Zeller. I think guys like Travis Carroll and Jacob Lawson are really going to have to step up, and Robbie Hummel, too. I'm sure we'll see Hummel and Zeller plenty of times tonight, too. So I think those guys are really going to have to step it up. Travis Carroll, he's actually done a great job against big centers this year. He really shut down Myers Leonard from Illinois when the Illini came to Mackey. Did a pretty good job on Morgan from Michigan, even though Purdue lost that game. Still did a good job. So I think Carroll is going to have a big game tonight if he can stop Zeller offensively. I think Cody's definitely the biggest advantage that IU has at this point.
All right. The same question, just the other way around for you. Jimmy, what are the strengths that Purdue has that IU has got to overcome?
Well, I touched a little bit on the perimeter shooting earlier, and I wouldn't so much call that a strength as much as it is, there are three guys on Purdue's team that can really hurt IU. Now, as far as a strength that Purdue has, I think the most important thing in this game for the Boilermakers, besides knocking down open perimeter shots, which they will get, I believe, just taking care of the ball. They're a very good team at ball security. Lewis Jackson leads the way on that. He has better than a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. Really strong with the ball, really strong with taking care of it. And IU's had trouble with teams who haven't given them opportunities to run, like with turnovers, all that good stuff. So I think if Purdue has a strength that is going to be key in this game, I think it's their ability to take care of the ball. And, just to build off of what Evan said, I totally agree with everything he said on Cody Zeller, on Travis Carroll, Jacob Lawson, those guys needing to take care of them. Because really, I mean, if they have to dedicate a double team to Zeller, if they have to bring somebody down off the perimeter, he's been a really good passer. And if they can't take care of Zeller one-on-one, they're going to have a whole lot of trouble with this IU offense, I believe.
All right. Well, let's talk about Purdue and IU historically. Let's face it, Jimmy. Purdue has always been the one to take off the gloves first. In my opinion, with IU, especially when they're playing at home. So, Evan, can we expect that Purdue's going to play a little bit different game against IU than they have here in the last few games? Do you think they're going to change their game plan at all? What do you think they've got in store for IU tonight?
Well, I definitely think you're going to see a different Purdue team tonight. This is a team that's They're hungry. They want to get back to that, top tier Big Ten level. So they're going to come out fighting tonight, and they're not going to go down without a really good fight tonight. I'm trying to think here. I think Coach Painter said earlier in the week they were going to go with a smaller lineup. Today I think start with Hummel, DJ Bird, Kelsey Barlow, Lewis Jackson, Ryan Smith. And I think that's because they played so well last week against Northwestern. I mean, it was a close game, and I think Purdue should have won that game by a lot more than they did. But I think the smaller lineup could work very well against IU, even with Zeller in there. I really like the matchup with Lewis Jackson on Jordan Halls. I think as long as Lou Jack doesn't turn the ball over, which he doesn't, he's, I think, one of the best point guards in the conference. As long as he doesn't turn the ball over, I think Lou Jack could really have his way with Halls today. And that's Lou Jack's going to be one of those guys who's going to be key for Purdue, I think. If we can get a big game out of Lewis, I think that Purdue has a pretty good shot to win this one.
Okay, Jimmy, same question. Like I just I started the question off with Evan. Purdue really has a history of, you know, taking its gloves off against Purdue, and I mean against IU. And to them, I think that this has got to be a win for them. And as Evan said, you're going to see a completely different team than we've seen. So if that's true, then IU has to prepare a different game for IU. I mean, for Purdue. So do they prepare differently for Purdue than perhaps maybe they did for UK or for Michigan? How does IU prepare for this game of the year every year?
Well, I hate to go into coach speak, Tom, but I've been battered with this point enough by Tom Crean to know that they're not going to really take a different approach in this game as far as all that good stuff goes. I mean, they're going to go after this like they need it because, quite frankly, they do. The effort that they put forward at the beginning against Michigan, Tom Crean called it, you know, quote-unquote, a joke, called his starting lineup a joke, and said they played like they'd seen a ghost. They can't afford to come out like that. Everyone involved knows it. You know, the starters know it, the bench players know it, and I think they have too much on their plate right now to worry about, you know, preparing any differently against Purdue. I will say this, that as far as the preparation goes, as far as the small lineup goes, with Purdue throwing that out there, IU struggled in that area. So, I mean, we could see Crean going with a different lineup that he's gone with, maybe throwing in, he said he's thought about throwing in Derek Elston into that starting lineup. He said he's considered him a seventh starter. Both Oladipo and Sheehy have struggled somewhat. And we don't know if Verdell Jones is going to start. But as far as Lewis Jackson goes, I believe that Victor Oladipo, if he gets the start, will draw Lou Jack rather than Jordan Halls. Crean's worried about what kind of job Halls would do on Jackson, I believe. I'm worried about it. So I do think if Holes ends up guarding Lewis Jackson, that'll be a definite mismatch to take advantage of. But I'd be more expecting him to start out the game on Ryan Smith. And really just as far as the perimeter defense goes, just the intensity, the effort that they need to see on a full 40-minute basis. That's the only thing I'll say, a difference from how they've played before. They've had trouble keeping the pedal to the floor. And I don't think they'll have that in this game. I think they'll come out tough like they haven't in past games.
All right, guys, we got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to jump right into our stock report, buy, sell, or trade. This is The Balance. We're talking hoops with Jimmy the Intern and Evan Williams of Bleeding Gold and Black up in Purdue University. We'll be right back. We are live from Indianapolis, and believe it or not, there is a Super Bowl this weekend.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year.
When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips. Your pets can play while you're away.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
From early morning to till late into the night. 24/7, the hits are non-stop. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us today here on The Balance. It's a super balance weekend, all weekend long, guys. We are live here in Indianapolis, home of the Super Bowl. That's right, guys. If you're anywhere near Indianapolis, get on down here to Super Bowl Village. I'm going to tell you what, it's the time of a lifetime. Jump on the zip and check it out. I tell you what, it's going to be a great day of basketball as well. We just got done talking. We just got done. For you college kids, that's not a word to use in radio, by the way. You just got done. We just got done talking about. We're going to jump. And certainly, if you have any thoughts or want to talk some hoops with myself or Evan Williams or Jimmy the intern, give us a call, 917-889-8516. Well, guys, Big Ten Stock Report is here. It is time to jump into the stock report. And I am really losing my voice. So hopefully I can make it through this. You know, I've been down in Super Bowl Village, and I've been talking to people. And, you know, at the end of the day, everything just at the end of the week, I mean, everything just kind of comes together. And when you're at the last part of a two-hour show, the voice just goes, if you know what I mean. So we'll start with you, Evan. And, you know, typically what I do here is I like to throw out a few teams, buy, sell, or trade. And what I thought I'd do just a little bit different today is I thought I would give both of you guys an opportunity. Normally I control the teams of to buy, sell, or trade. What I thought I would do is each of us, if you've got in mind, you know, you certainly don't have to go overboard with it here. And it's not rocket science, you know. So I'm going to start with you, Evan. And I want you to tell me three teams that you would buy, and then Jimmy and I will go through and either agree, disagree, or go forward. So go ahead, Evan, you're first.
All right, Tom. Well, the first team I'm going to buy is Ohio State. I think that the Buckeyes are just playing really well right now. And, I mean, if they play up to their game, I don't think there's a team that can beat them. They have a lot of talent. They might not be that deep on the bench, but I think that their starters are good enough to be able to carry the team down the stretch. Other team I'm going to buy is Michigan. I really like the way how they came out and played hard against IU the other night. I think they played a great game. They got a big lead early and then kind of gave it up. but still, I think Trey Burke has really been impressive this year. He's a guy I really like. And then the final team I think I'm going to buy is I'm going to buy Purdue. Noted that if they lose tonight, that might be different. But I think if Purdue gets a win tonight, I'd really watch out for them. I think that could be the kind of fire to get them going and get a nice run down in the stretch of the Big Ten season.
Well, I'm going to save mine for last. So go ahead, Jimmy, buy, sell, or trade on those or any that you want to add into.
Oh, well, those three are pretty good teams to take a look at. I don't know how much value there is in buying Ohio State just because, I mean, they're already at a pretty high price. I don't know how much higher they go from where they currently are. So I wouldn't say sell them, but I'd say hold on to them, see what happens there. As far as Michigan goes, I totally agree. I got to see firsthand why buying this team isn't a bad idea. Tim Hardaway Jr., if somebody got a hold of him and told him not to shoot so many dang threes, I mean, this would be a really scary team. Hardaway is really explosive off the dribble. He can get his own shot most of the time when he wants it. And if he didn't settle for so many three-point jumpers, he would be an even more dangerous player than he is. And this Michigan team would be that much more dangerous. So I think these guys have a chance to I was touting their virtues last week. I think these guys have a chance to do some damage. And finally, as far as Purdue goes, I'm interested in them. I don't know necessarily if I'd be willing to buy them quite yet. They have been looking pretty good. So I'll take the last one, shift it over to a team that I'm more personally familiar with, go to Indiana. Not necessarily because of anything they've done recently, but this is more of a speculative buy than anything. People are jumping off the bandwagon, wondering about this team. They're 4.5-point underdogs at Mackey Arena. They haven't won there recently. I think Purdue's a good matchup for Indiana. And when you look at their schedule down the stretch, they have two road games the rest of the way, Iowa and Minnesota. And their schedule is a lot easier than it has been in the first half of the Big Ten season. I saw a statistic that their schedule has equated to them playing a top 25 team every night, two games against Ohio State, two games against Michigan, Michigan State thrown in there. A road game against Nebraska makes it more difficult, obviously, than a home game. Down the stretch, like I said, two road games, game against North Carolina Central to get the chance to get some swag, get some mojo back. And then games against disappointing Illinois and Northwestern teams. I think they have a chance to make a move, make a run, and you know, really have a much stronger finish to their season in the Big Ten than at the start. I think now is a great time to jump in and buy some IU stock.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and my three stock, and we'll go back and we'll analyze these guys here over the next half hour over our buy and sell. I still say you need to get rid of Indiana stock. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that says, you know, sell Indiana. Here's where I'm at, guys. Ohio State still, I think, emerges as the stock you absolutely have to buy. I just think that they're going to be the favorite at the end to win all of this. As unfortunate as it is for IU, especially when I was the first one to tell you earlier on this season, especially with the way they were playing, that IU could be there in the mix. And they might still be in the mix, but as far as my key stocks, I think you still got to hang on to or buy Ohio State. I think they might lose another three or four games, road trips. There's some major contenders that do await them. But my three top teams that I would look into buying, absolutely. Ohio State, my first pick, Wisconsin and Michigan State. And Wisconsin and Michigan State there. I think that those absolutely have to be the teams that you want to look at. I want to drop Indiana, Purdue, and Illinois. I know I was swinging on Illinois the other day, and that's one of my teams that I buy and get rid of maybe weekly is Illinois. Maybe Indiana's one of those. I still think if you're hanging on to Minnesota or Northwestern, as good as Northwestern has turned out to be, certainly if you're hanging on to Nebraska or Penn State, you definitely got to get rid of those guys. But the top three that I would be looking at to drop would be Illinois, Indiana, and Purdue. I mean, really, I think right now, average wins, 9.34 wins for Purdue. When you look at that and compare it to 12.5 wins, average wins for Ohio State, and you factor in that with the bye weeks and the strength of schedule, I think that we still have to look at Ohio State winning the Big Ten. And I like Indiana and Purdue. Maybe tonight, after tonight's game, and we move into next week's games, we I'll have a better thought pattern when it comes to Indiana and IU. And I'm not forming a mutiny here or anything like that. I mean, my heart is here in Indiana, and I love IU first, and obviously Purdue by association with Indiana. I root for them, and as a fan, yes, I think they're great. But when you're looking at buying and selling stock, I think we've got to look at Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Michigan as well as some of the key people there in the Big Ten. And I think right now Wisconsin is another dominant team. I think that they control their own destiny. They've certainly struggled to score at times against average defenses this season. And one can only imagine how difficult it will be for the Badgers to solve what has statistically been the best defense in the country. But I think you need to hang on to Wisconsin. So let's break down some of these teams that we've talked about. We'll start with you, Evan. Now your top team to buy was Ohio State. Am I correct? Did I write that down right?
Yeah, that's right, Tom.
Okay. Now, so I think we're all in agreement of Ohio State. Jimmy, are you in agreement on Ohio State?
Well, that's the only thing I said, though, that, you know, I definitely think Ohio State's going to be a really good team. But as far as buying their stock, I mean, they're right at the top of the rankings. They're not going to get much higher. I mean, buying in, there's only room for downside. And if they end up, you know, losing somebody to injury, they don't have a very deep rotation, and I don't see a whole lot of upside in buying Ohio State.
And you know what? There's some validity to that. We look at this Ohio State and Wisconsin game, guys, and you look at these two going at it. The Badgers hold a 43-27 edge against Ohio State in men's basketball played in Madison. Including a streak of 9 consecutive home victories against the Buckeyes. I think if Wisconsin can come in here and if Ohio State can come in and beat Wisconsin, that really solidifies their title. But on the flip side of the coin there, I think Wisconsin has history in their favor. I like the Badgers in this game. I think that the Badgers will continue to dominate the series between the Badgers and the Buckeyes. Evan, what are your thoughts on that?
I think if Ohio State can get a victory there, it'll be huge for them, and I think that it would solidify them as the best team in the Big Ten. Kohl Center is a very tough place to play. Badgers have a huge home court advantage there, so. I think Wisconsin can win it, but I still think Ohio State's a favorite. And I think if for either team, it'll be a big win. If Wisconsin wins, that'll put them, tied for first in the conference. And if Ohio State wins, I think it just solidifies them as the top team in the Big Ten.
Okay, go ahead, Jimmy. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Tom, there's no question in my mind that Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten. Michigan State is not as good as Ohio State is. Neither is Michigan, neither is Wisconsin. I've seen all those teams this year, and the one that came closest to being that, I think, was Michigan State. But when Ohio State has those cylinders running, which I think they will for the most part the rest of the season, there's not going to be a better team in the Big Ten. Wisconsin has some major holes. So does Michigan, and Michigan State has some question marks too. We don't know how well Draymond Green's going to play out. I mean, he was injured in that most recent game. He couldn't even really walk off the floor, had to limp off. But I will say this, that Wisconsin has managed to get some pretty fortuitous calls in some of their home games. I won't mention by name any particular referee, but it's an environment in the Big Ten at home that home teams normally end up getting some borderline calls. It's a hard place to win on the road in the Big Ten. And when you're Wisconsin and have that kind of home court advantage, that's going to play a factor. I don't think that there's a team other than Ohio State that deserves to win the Big Ten regular season championship, but I can see one of those teams sneaking in, most likely Michigan State or Wisconsin, and managing to kind of get it on technicality. I still don't think that there's a more dangerous team than Ohio State, but there are some other teams that have a chance to kind of sneak in and stealing a Big Ten title. That's how I would look at it, really. Anybody but Ohio State wins the Big Ten title this year, they stole it, because Ohio State's easily the best team in this conference.
Oh, absolutely. Well, guys, I want to make sure that we have time to talk a little bit about the upcoming games. Obviously, we've talked about Purdue, we've talked about Ohio State and Wisconsin. I'm not really taking these in any particular order, but I do want to get your thoughts on some of the other games going on in the Big Ten. So let's talk a little bit about Illinois. Illinois tomorrow goes up against Northwestern. And, like I said, a lot of people like Northwestern. Northwestern has had its highs and lows this year, as well as Illinois has. And I think Illinois, I think they play at home. I think Illinois has a good shot at winning this game against Northwestern. I don't look at any of two of these teams to really be deal breakers in the conference standings, other than just that they're fun to watch. And to see Northwestern upset Illinois, to me, would be a huge upset. So we'll start with you, Evan. What are your thoughts on Illinois and Northwestern?
I agree that it'd be huge, if Northwestern could pull off a victory against Illinois. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think Illinois will win this game. And it'll be a good win for Illinois, too. It'll put them at 6-4 in the conference, 17-6 overall. It's putting them in a lot better position of securing a berth to the NCAA tournament. I think Illinois is just going to have to be able to shut down John Scherna. He's been consistent all year, and he's definitely the Wildcats' best player. If you can shut down Scherna and also Drew Thompson, if you can shut down those guys, then I really think that Illinois will be the far favorite in this matchup between the teams.
Jimmy, what are your thoughts on the Illinois-Northwestern game?
Tom, you said Illinois is playing at home, correct?
I thought that's what it was. I think they are, yes. I am correct.
Okay.
I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but I'm almost positive I'm right on that.
All right. I just thought I'd make sure. I like I said, I don't have an internet connection right now, so I can't look at that, double-check, make sure. But as far as this game goes, I definitely think that Illinois should be favored. I think Illinois is the better team. But I speak as the guy who was alone in saying that Northwestern stock wouldn't be a bad buy at this point last week. I still think they're an intriguing prospect as far as the rest of the season goes. I don't think they were as bad as they showed in that week previous. And, this last week they showed some possibility of some upside. John Scherna absolutely went off. I believe they scored 84 points against Nebraska, had a pretty good game there. And, really – showed some signs of life. And it's not so much that I believe in this Northwestern team quite as much as I don't believe in this Illinois team. I think they have some holes. And I know Brandon Paul's outstanding in spurts, and Meyer Leonard is one of the best young big men in the Big Ten. But this is a really inconsistent team. They have had their ups and downs, and another down here wouldn't surprise me. I'm not going to pick a Northwestern victory. I'm just saying don't be surprised if and when it happens. And on along that point, Bruce Weber, you got to start wondering about his potential job security if this Illinois team doesn't make the tournament, because right now they're sitting with 16 wins, 5 wins in the conference, and their schedule doesn't line up particularly favorably. I don't look at a whole lot of games and shoe in wins for Illinois. It's entirely possible in my mind for these guys to finish short of the NCAA tournament and possibly cost Coach Weber his job.
And you know, that's a good point, and we didn't talk about that, but yeah, that's a very, very good point. Weber's job is definitely hanging in the balance as well. All right, as we move along to some of the other games, Iowa hosts Penn State today at 3:00. Obviously, Penn State has been getting a lot of negative press. And they want to start focusing on Penn State as a basketball team. Iowa will be wearing those throwback jerseys to recognize this 1987 team. I'm really starting to date myself because that is when I graduated high school, was in 1987. I think you guys were probably still at your daddy's party. But you guys were still hanging out in daddy's sock. But anyway... Saturday concludes a stretch of playing 3 games in 7 days, obviously playing at Indiana last Sunday, followed by home games against Minnesota, and again then today against Penn State. So that's going to put a wear on Iowa. I think that is a tough schedule, and I think Penn State wants to win this game. And so I think it's going to be a good game. Iowa is at home. They're going to have probably a good attendance. Home court advantage probably will play into the factor of this game. All-time series, Iowa holds a 22-12 advantage in the series, and that began with an 82-53 Iowa win in 1955. Those teams go back that far. So, Evan, Penn State and Iowa, what are your thoughts on that game today?
I think Iowa is the favorite here. They've been playing a lot of games recently, but I've really liked how they've played in some of those games. And you know, Penn State's really struggling. They've had a couple big wins, but overall they're just not a team I would I'd bet on at all. So I think Iowa definitely has the advantage here. Penn State is really going to depend on how Frazier plays. If he can have a big game, then I think Penn State could hang with them, but. Overall, I think Iowa at home is just too much right now for the Nittany Lions.
Jimmy?
Tom, Penn State plays really hard. Penn State plays a whole lot harder than I expected, at least coming into this year. And like you mentioned, that 87 season with your high school graduation and all that stuff is a little bit before my time. But if I had to guess, I would say that that's going to have some extra meaning for an Iowa team that Fran McCaffrey has called out against Indiana and at other points this season for not playing as hard as he wants them to play. If they can get that extra motivation from the crowd that I imagine they're going to have from the buildup before the game, that could be just what the doctor ordered. Because if this was just another game, I would say that Penn State has the potential to upset what I believe to be a better Iowa team. If this Iowa team played as hard as Penn State, they would probably be right in the thick of the Big Ten race. But, I mean, they struggle on defense. Tim Frazier, I think, will get his points. They really struggle, too, taking away things on the other side of the ball. I mean, Penn State's going to have a good chance to score. And if they play as well on defense as they have shown themselves capable of playing, I think they could really give Iowa a run for their money. If Iowa wants to win this game, I think they need to speed up, make Tim Frazier jack up shots, and try and beat the Penn State defense, try and beat Penn State from the perimeter. If they do those things with the phone ringing in the background, I guess people know that I'm on the line. If they do those things, I think that Iowa should end up winning this game. It's not quite as much of a shoe-in now as I think some would leave you to believe.
All right, guys, another key marquee game of the weekend, next to IU and Purdue, obviously. Going over in Tommy Izzo's land, Michigan State and Michigan battle each other. And I tell you what, this is always an exciting team to play. And you know, I like Michigan State in this game. I think Michigan State really has what it takes to win. And I tell you what, I like Dawson out there at Michigan State. I think he's as talented as any player as Izzo has brought into the program. And I just think that he's really shown that talent a lot this season. So I like the Dawson factor, I'll put it that way, against Michigan. And I think that Michigan State plays a heck of a ball game against Michigan, and Michigan State comes out on top. So, Evan, what are your thoughts on that game?
Tom, I think it'll be interesting to see how that game plays out, especially with Draymond Green. You know, he's really the guy for the Spartans this year. He leads them in almost every statistical category. And I think if this Michigan State team's a lot different, if he's not healthy, if he's not, you know, up to his game. So I agree with Dawson. He's really been great. He's not a favorite of Purdue fans, but he's still one of the better freshmen in not only the Big Ten, but I think the country. So he's going to be a big factor in this game. I do like Michigan State. I think that they will win this game. I think they're the better team. Michigan has been playing really well, and I think if guys like Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway, Zach Novak, those guys can get hot, and they play a really tough game, really shut down Michigan State on defense, then I think Michigan can definitely get the victory, but I do think Michigan State is the favorite team. I like them more in this matchup than Michigan.
All right, Jimmy, what are your thoughts? Michigan State.
I think Evan hit perfectly the key point for this game. Is as much as I do also like Brandon Dawson, and he will definitely play a bigger role going forward, I think right now this Michigan State team lives and dies with Draymond Green. And for a guy who couldn't walk off the floor under his own power when we saw him last, if we're just going to take at the team's word that he's 100%, now you can do that, but if I'm betting money on this game, I probably think twice about that. Because these guys really do need Draymond Green in order to be successful. They don't have Kalen Lucas, the guy who was so key for them last year from the point guard position. They have Brandon Wood, who's a good shooter, and they have some guys around, peripheral guys, Adrian Payne, Derek Nix, who can contribute defensively and, you know, some offense as well on the other end of the floor. But Draymond Green's the guy that needs to run through. And if Michigan State doesn't have a 100% ready-to-go Draymond Green, I think Michigan could end up hitting a couple threes, you know, really seize some momentum, and possibly close this game out. It depends on Green's health. If he's healthy, ready to go, I think Michigan State's able to win this one, you know, with the Izzone backing them at the Breslin Center. But I wouldn't count out Michigan quite yet. They can beat anybody with the style of offense that they run. And, you know, I think if we don't see Draymond Green play as well as he normally does for Michigan State, we'll see another upset. We'll see Michigan come out of there with a win.
Well, this brings me to another game that I really don't think, again, it's going to make that much of a difference in the standings per se. But welcome to the Big Ten, Nebraska. Big difference between Nebraska football and Nebraska basketball. And you've got the Minnesota Gophers. And, again, I want to go back. How in the world does Minnesota beat IU? I guess the same way they're going to beat Nebraska. They play tomorrow at 1 o'clock at home in Nebraska. Obviously, the Cornhuskers are having a hard time this year. I think the biggest win that Minnesota's had all year long has been against Indiana. Certainly not one of the teams that I would put up there in my wish list. But Minnesota and Nebraska, I like Nebraska at home. I think Nebraska is trying to find their niche in the Big Ten. I think that they could have a pretty big, substantial win against Minnesota this weekend. What are your thoughts, Evan?
I'm going to have to go with Minnesota on this matchup. I really am not too confident on Nebraska's basketball in the Big Ten. I really think they're going to struggle year in, year out to, you know, get out of those last three spots in the conference. One thing I just wanted to bring up was is that this Minnesota team, they're 16-7, and that's without their best player in Trevor Mbakwe. I just would like to see how good they would be if they would have Mbakwe. I definitely think they could be in the argument of being in the top three in the Big Ten if they had Mbakwe. It was really unfortunate, as Purdue all knows, is losing one of your best players to an ACL injury. So I feel the pain of Minnesota, and it's just it'd be interesting to see where they'd be at if they had Mbakwe out there.
All right, guys, that brings us to like the last 5 minutes of the show. Last week I took the I Told You So Bad show. I want to share the wealth. I want other people to have the opportunity to have the I Told You So badge and let the other two of us agree. So, Evan, this week it goes on you. Who is the I Told You So badge that you would like to wear? We can either agree or disagree with you.
Well, Tom, I think mine's going to have to go to Michigan. I knew coming in this year they were going to be a really talented team, and I think could be a contender for the conference title. Everyone knew that they were going to be a solid team this year, but I don't know if people saw that they were going to be this good, you know, being able to beat IU, being able to beat Purdue, being able to, you know, be competitive with, the Ohio States and the Wisconsin and Michigan States. I really like this team, and I think that they're going to definitely continue to be one of the better teams in the Big Ten for a couple of years to come.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on that. I would not say that I told you so with Michigan. Michigan State, maybe. I think Michigan is kind of even a blind squirrel can find a nut. I think that they're finding their nut right now. I just wanted to say that. I just want to say find your nut. That's all I wanted to say, guys. I prepped all week to figure out a way to say find your nut. I'm just kidding. Speaking of finding your nut, guys, I'm getting off track here, yeah, but stay on point here. Something shiny just went by. But Izzo, and we didn't get into this, guys, but, boy, Izzo fired back this week on his he was being challenged on his recruiting tactics. Jimmy, we'll let you take this. It's going to have to be the final thought of the day, and you can go ahead and disagree or agree with Evan on the I Told You So badge. But what do you think about Izzo firing back? He does everything above board.
I don't think too much about Tom Izzo's recruiting tactics. I mean, he can do what he wants. It's not going to affect – I don't think it's affecting Indiana. I don't think it's affecting, you know, the other teams around the Big Ten as much as other teams would have you believe. I think, you know, when you're Michigan State and when you're one of the best teams in the country, programs, at least recently, when you've had the Final Fours that Izzo's had, I think that's probably more a part of it than anything else. I don't worry too much about it.
Evan, do you have any thoughts on that real quickly?
Yeah, Michigan State, I think he's definitely one of the best coaches in the country, and he's going to continue to lead that Michigan State program and continue to be one of the best teams in the country. I mean, I don't have much to say on that.
All right, guys, it's Super Bowl weekend. We're live here in Indianapolis tomorrow. The live Super Bowl show from Indianapolis. The Super Bowl special will be underway. Guys, how are you doing the Super Bowl, Evan? What are you doing for the Super Bowl?
Well, Tom, I'm going to be enjoying it with some friends down at Purdue, and we're going to watch the game, have a good time. And I'm going to have to say the Patriots are going to pull this one out. I really like them in the matchup, and I think Tom Brady will get that fourth ring.
All right, Jimmy Kavanaugh, a.k.a. Jimmy the Intern, Super Bowl plans.
I'm going to be getting with some buddies watching it at Buffalo Wild Wings, which I'm sure isn't – I don't know if they're an official sponsor of the Bengals, but we'll give them a shout-out. I like their hot wings. And I don't care. I'm going to take off my analyst's hat and say, go Giants. Go Eli. Mess up Tom Brady. I don't want to see him win another game.
I say go Giants. All right, real quickly, Evan, where can people find your work?
You can follow my blog, Leading Golden Black, at bleedinggoldenblack.blogspot.com, and then you can follow me on Twitter at Evan_Williams25. those are the best places to find me, and I'm always active on there.
All right. Evan, we'll see you next week. Jimmy, where can people find your masterpieces at?
Just follow me on Twitter. I put them out there, JPCIV. That's at just the letters, JPCIV. Check out my work at iesportcom.com. And also, every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m., I have a show on Blog Talk Radio on CrimsonCast.com. The Hoosier Hotline, just check that out. That's CrimsonCast.com. Check that out.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for Super Saturday here on The Balance. We're live from Indianapolis. We'll see you tomorrow for our very special Super Bowl special right here on the Balance Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow, guys. If you're out celebrating the Super Bowl, stay out of jail and stay sober.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More!
More!
More!